We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 20th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We are overwhelmed with your support today. We have an article that's up on Infowars.com. Anti-Globalist Network launches worldwide. That's thanks to your support. We had our money bomb this week, and I guess it was, it was about midday yesterday. We hit the $1 million mark. Thank you so much for your support. To thank you, we've extended the free shipping and the specials till tonight at midnight. But thank you so much for helping to support this operation. Of course, it's a leap of faith to expand. Anytime you have a business, this is a major financial commitment. It requires an investment in new equipment as well as massive operating expenses. Each month, we needed your help to get to that level so that we could, the next part of this game, of course, is getting stations to sign up on this free-to-air process. And the instructions on how to do that, where you can help us, it doesn't require any money. It just requires some of your time to help us get these stations on board. Of course, it's going to be offered free-to-air. We'll have some of our commercials. They'll put some of their commercials on. But they need to know that there's interest, that there's an audience there in order for this to get started. We have no doubt in our minds, and I don't believe that you do either as a listener, that we can do well once we get on these stations. We know from past experience when Alex went to Orlando, he immediately shot to the number one position, leapfrogging Rush Limbaugh in that market. That happened for a few months, and it scared the system so much that that station was sold. And that's happened a number of times, as Alex joked. If you want to sell your station for a huge profit, just put him on there against Rush Limbaugh, and the system will buy you out and convert it to another format. We saw that happen a number of times. We know we can compete in this free market of ideas. We are telling something that is very different in our analysis than you're hearing in the mainstream media, than you're hearing in conservative talk radio. It's a very different understanding, different issues that we're taking a look at. Here's some of those issues that we're going to be talking about today. Of course, we're going to look at the top candidates. There's been a lot of developments in the last couple of days on the GOP side. We've had the back and forth with Donald Trump not defending Obama when somebody made a statement about him, and the press getting all bent out of shape about it. And he rightly said, it's not my responsibility to defend Obama. And of course, if somebody said something negative about me, about Donald Trump, he said, I'm sure that Obama would not feel that it was his responsibility to defend me. Absolutely right. But then Trump went a bit further, as he always does. He's not just going to go on the defense. He always goes on the offense. And he says, what you really need to be talking about is the war on Christians. And we're going to talk about that. He's absolutely right about that. We've talked about that many times for a very long time here on InfoWars. We're going to tell you what we've said in the past, what is going on. We're going to tell you that, yes, there is a war on Christians worldwide. There's a war on Christians coming out of Washington, D.C. as well. And this should concern you even if you're not a Christian. It should concern you because of the way that it's being done, because it's another example of how the rule of law is being shunned in favor of dictatorship, essentially. The dictatorship of a president, the dictatorship of a bureaucracy, the dictatorship of political correctness. That's why it should concern you, because it's going to be pervasive in a number of other areas. Now, this war of religions, and of course, this is a minefield, and we're not going to tiptoe through it. We're going to go running through it today. So I'm sure that some people are going to get upset about what we have to say, but I'm going to try to explain to you why this is a broader issue, not something that is just a war of religions. Earlier today, on Meet the Press, they talked to Ben Carson along these same lines, and he made a very controversial statement. He said he didn't believe that a Muslim should be president. We're going to talk about that when we come back, as well as many other topics. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And we'll have Alex Jones joining us briefly at the top of this hour. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones here with my co-host David Knight, thanking all the info warriors who in the last few days made history by donating to the 2015 Operation Money Bomb War Chest. We have raised close to $1 million. It is absolutely essential to beam via satellite to thousands of UHF, VHF, and cable stations around North America and all the way down into Central America. The world is hungry for the message of liberty. And one of the favorite refrains of our founding fathers was that all that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. So we're not claiming that we're going to save the world by doing this, but together, taking action in little ways, small ways, big ways, huge ways, we are going to change the course of history. What the globalists are doing is incredibly unpopular. It's illegal. It's tyrannical. Whether it's harvesting baby parts worldwide and China selling organs, whether it's the forced inoculation agenda planetary wide, whether it's funding radical Islamic groups to destabilize areas of the world, it's all criminal and it's all run by the same people. So because we've done the research, because we know who the enemy is, it's our responsibility to not just sit here and reach 20, 30 million people a week. So we're launching the first phase of a program to eventually have satellites covering free to air the entire populated world. And we've built the team now with David Knight and the other reporters and anchors and the journalists and the investigative researchers and the writers to really give the globalists a run for their money. We're about to update Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with new, more modern designs. We're about to launch a lot of new things here. But I just wanted to thank all of you who did donate, who bought the products in the last 2 days, because you've raised almost $1 million. But it's been 3 years since we've had a fundraiser. And I want to actually reach our goal of $1 million. We need to do it to be able to get a couple more reporters, some of the more expensive equipment we need. We've paid for the satellite, we've paid for the closed captioning, we've paid for a lot of the groundwork to get this going. We're already up on the satellite, affiliates are already tuning in, already signing on right now. So thank God and thank all of you. But now we need to go to that next level to ensure that over the next 12 months, we're able to complete this operation. And my plan is to then make it self-sufficient and we'll never have another fundraiser again. We may. It was 3 years since I had another one. We want to, again, not be under the control of sponsors, not be under the control outside advertisers. We want to be independent, selling high-quality products that you believe in, that you use, that you like. But occasionally, we do come to you to ask us to help bring this operation to the next level. But you've got to feel really good right now knowing that you've done that. And we've pretty much reached our goals. But in the interest of that, we want to extend the sales, massive sales of upwards of 20% off, free shipping, you name it, on hundreds of items at InfoWarsStore.com. You can also call 888-253-3139. We're going to run that through Friday, Saturday, into Sunday at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. David's going to be hosting the Sunday show this weekend, and when it ends, we will have to turn off those specials because we're contractually, through some of these suppliers, unable to continue to offer some of these products at the prices we're offering because it hurts the competition a little too much. So again, I want to thank you all. I want to invite you to double down on this revolution against tyranny. Or if you haven't donated, or if you haven't checked out the great products at InfoWarsStore.com, I want to invite you to check it out. David Knight, you've been here 3 years. We don't use teleprompters. We don't script this. I just called you in here 5 minutes ago and said, I want to thank everybody. I want to encourage them to be part of this. This is historic what we're doing. And I wanted you, I'm telling you now, to speak to what it's been like for you being here 3 years and where you see the info war going from this point. Because you didn't win a contest 5 years ago you entered. But out of that, we offered to hire you. You moved your family down here from the Carolinas. And I want you to share your experience, teleprompter free, unscripted, of what it's been like and have a message for folks. But most importantly, I wanted to thank you as representative of the listeners who don't just stand, as I've said, beside us, but at the heart of what we're doing. David Knight was a listener and a family man and a business owner and an engineer. And he pulled up stakes and came down here. And now he's hosting the show. Now he's reaching tens of millions. And so he's a microcosm of what supporting ideas does. evil's only winning because good men and women haven't got off the bench in the fight. So, David, I want you to close this out, spend a few minutes, but I love you and your family, and I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's amazing to work with such great people.
Thank you so much. And I can tell you that what I've seen here in this amount of time is how Alex is pouring this back into expanding the information outreach. We're not sitting on a hoard of gold like some kind of a dragon. He is investing this. I've seen massive changes, not only expansion in the number of personnel, but also expansion in the studios that we put there, which is essential for us to be able to reach out to people, to have something that looks professional. People won't tune in and listen to it. If you're trying to reach somebody that's never heard this message before, you've got a lot of obstacles in front of you because they've never heard this kind of information before. They're getting a very different story from the planned information that's coming out of the mainstream media. And so when we hit them with very different information, if we look extremely different, that's very difficult for us to reach them. So we have to have a certain way to present it. We have to have certain ways that we can reach out to people. That's what I've seen Alex doing, is investing in this all out. As I said before, when we saw what happened with Sandy Hook, we knew what was going to be done with this. We knew this was a massive push to take away the Second Amendment. We know how important all of our rights are, but we know that the Second Amendment is guaranteeing these other rights as well. And I remember how it was like this money bomb effort. For a couple of weeks at the very beginning, it was just around the clock, pushing back against this. What can we do? How can we expose where they're going with this, what they're doing with this? So we've seen this happen over and over again. It's going to happen again. There's been multiple times since I've been here that we have made a difference. You passing our information along, you being a subscriber to the nightly news, when we were fighting against these expansions in the war on Syria, when they had the false flag attacks with the sarin gas, we explained that to people. We were leading the fight and explaining to people what was really going on there. Now it's breaking that our government has been working with Chechen rebels, bringing them in, training them, and injecting them into Syria, going back to 2012. Mainstream media is reporting that now, reporting the fact that we have American troops on the ground in Syria a day after everybody was saying it's so dangerous and provocative that Putin is saying he's going to put Russian troops there. So it's very important. It has real world consequences for all of us to understand what is behind this, what is happening. That's why it is imperative for all of us to understand what's going on and to warn our neighbors what's going on. There's been so many issues on which InfoWars has been a real game changer, where we've made a real difference with you, with your support. That's why it's vital for you to join with us and support us now. Thank you so much for standing with us. Thank you so much for your support. Let's get that last bit of effort to finish this off. For InfoWars Nightly News and for the Alex Jones Radio Show, I'm David Knight.
And again, thank you so much for your help. Sometime yesterday, we reached the goal of $1 million. Thank you so much for that. And as a thank you, Alex has extended free shipping on anything you want to get at the store until midnight tonight. It is very, very important that you've stood with us, and we cannot thank you enough. Your support is absolutely overwhelming. Now, help us get on these stations. You can find that information there at the Money Bomb. There's a PDF to download to let you know if you have a satellite system where you can listen to this directly, how you can do that, but also how you can approach stations and let them know there's an interest in your area. That is vital. We're confident that if we get on the stations in those areas, that we will do very well. We've seen this happen in the past, and we know that it will happen as well. As I mentioned in the last segment, just looking at the experience that Alex had with radio in Orlando, going head-to-head with Alex Jones on a station there, immediately shot to number one, and of course, that station got sold right away after just a couple of months of that happening. They got sold and changed the format of that station. So Alex has joked, if you want to make a profit on your station, just carry his radio program and you're likely to get sold and changed over to another format just to get him off of the competition. Because we have a message that the mainstream media, whether it's conservative or liberal, does not want you to hear. They have a very narrow, controlled narrative that they want to feed you, a very controlled this or that narrative. It's either this one or that one, but there are so many issues and the bigger picture that they do not want you to see. Here's some of the news that we're going to be covering today. Of course, there's the back and forth between Trump versus Obama, the war on Christians. We're also going to be looking at the comments that Ben Carson made today earlier on Meet the Press about whether or not there should be a Muslim president. We've got the United States preparing for a new war against Russia. And guess what? The U.S. keeps losing in these war games. Really? Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 20th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. We have a host of issues we're going to talk about today. Donald Trump released a new position paper on the Second Amendment. We're going to break that down for you. Earlier this morning on Meet the Press, Ben Carson was asked if a Muslim could be president. We're going to talk about his comments on that. But before we get to those issues, I want to go over this back and forth that's been developing over the last several days between Trump and the press, and I would say also Obama. Of course, he took a lot of flack because a man stood up at one of the rallies and said, you know, Obama's a Muslim. He's not even an American citizen. We've got these camps all over the place. What are you going to do about this? And the media was absolutely livid that he did not reprimand this individual for saying that Obama was a Muslim, not an American citizen, to which Trump responded, "I'm not morally obligated to defend Obama from the birthers." He says if the roles were reversed, Obama would not come to his defense. Absolutely right. Here's what he tweeted out. This is a story we have up on InfoWars.com from The Hill. Donald Trump tweeted out, "Am I morally obligated to defend the president every time somebody says something bad or controversial about him? I don't think so." That's right. He certainly isn't. And then he went on to say this. He said, this is the first time in my life I've caused controversy by not saying something. And finally, he said, if someone made a nasty or controversial statement about me to the president, do you really think he would come to my rescue? Not a chance. But then he went on to say something that did cause more controversy because he pointed out that the real issue was the war on Christians. And the war on Christianity. And this is something that's going on globally. This is something we can see in America in terms of intolerance. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not a Muslim, this still should concern you. Because it concerns how we are going to treat different groups. It concerns the rule of law. It concerns due process. It concerns individual liberties and where they come in conflict. Is there a way that we can maintain each other's individual liberties without stomping on the other person's rights? And we haven't done that very well in this country so far. In most cases, the pendulum swings too far in one way and then swings too far back in the other way. Is it possible for us to find a balance? But when we look at the record of the Obama administration, I don't see a balance there. Now, of course, there's this article from Breitbart saying pro-Christian vow, Trump escalates against the media's Muslim Obama smear. Donald Trump, they say, is hitting back twice as hard as the Democrats. He told the New York Times the bigger issue is that Obama is waging a war against Christians in this country. He went on to say that the question was given to him, was about training camps. He says the media wants to make this an issue about Obama. The bigger issue is that Obama is waging a war against Christians in this country. They need support. And their religious liberty is at stake, he added. He is absolutely right about that. We have pointed this out many times. As a matter of fact, it's not the first time he said that. If we go back to August the 21st, we had an article on InfoWars.com at the time by Kit Daniels. Trump says Muslim immigrants are treated better than Christians. Every immigrant in the United States is being treated better than American citizens. That's the real issue. That's the fundamental issue. He said it's easier for Muslim immigrants to enter the U.S. than Christians fleeing ISIS, Donald Trump pointed out. So this is talking about, when you look at the religion issue, this is talking about whether or not Syrian refugees are going to find a way into the United States. And he was very clear and very accurate at the time to say that it's much easier to get a refugee status coming out of Syria if you're not a Christian. If you're a Muslim, you're going to get a free ticket in. If you're a Christian, not so much. That's what he said at the time. He said, do you know if you're a Christian from Syria, you can't get into the United States? If you're Muslim from Syria, it's one of the easiest places to get into. He says there's an assault on anything having to do with Christianity. The PC leftists don't want to use the word Christmas anymore at department stores. Well, look, we've laughed before at many times about Fox's perennial war on Christmas stuff. And it is based on a PC attitude. They want to purge anything that has to do with Christianity. And that includes saying things like Merry Christmas. It's not only annoying, it is actually very dangerous to find this kind of political correctness that purges speech, that purges the free exercise of religion. We have to understand that our country was founded upon the free exercise of religion. That's why most of the people who came here from Europe came here. They came here to escape religious persecution in England. And so that was a key part of much of what made the basis of our law here, was based on toleration of different religions. So you have to understand that when we see this being shut down with a people being shamed about what they have to say about the free exercise of religion, of course, one of the groups that really pushes against this is an organization that talks about freedom from religion. That's not what the Constitution says. The Constitution says we have free exercise of religion. Free exercise of religion. Okay, it's freedom of religion, and you exercise it. You don't have to keep it in the closet. And so now what we have is a situation where Christians, they're demanding that Christians keep their faith in the closet. And that's a kind of persecution. We don't want to see the pendulum swing back the other way. This is not something that's going to work out good for either group. We've seen this in the past. We don't want to see this in the future. And of course, there is a systemic bias against Christians in the mainstream media, as well as in the District of Criminals in Washington, D.C. We've talked about this many times. Of course, going back to July 21st, we had an article on Infowars.com. The persecution of Christians is intensifying as anti-Christian hatred sweeps the entire world. Now, at the time, Michael Snyder's article went down point by point, a lot of different countries. I think there's about 10 countries in this. First one was Iraq. But of course, in both Afghanistan and Iraq, we had a history in those countries that were predominantly Muslim. We had a history of some toleration of Christianity, more so than in our close ally, Saudi Arabia. There were Christian churches in Afghanistan. There were Christian churches in Iraq. Not after we took over. They have essentially been purged out of those countries. Isn't that telling? Once the United States got in, once the United States set up their puppets, Christianity was gone. I am more concerned about the American attitude towards Christianity than I am the Muslim attitude towards Christianity, quite frankly. But it goes on to some other countries, Kenya. And of course, in Kenya, in April of this year, that was where there was the massive attack at a university getting shot up by Muslim terrorists who came across the border. Similar things happening in India and Pakistan, where the Muslim terrorists are attacking Christians, Nigeria as well, and then in China. China is an interesting example, because we can see there, if you're a Christian, if you're another religion, if you're not a religion, you can understand the kind of persecution that we've seen there. And here's the important thing, I think, to take away from China. Of course, people who had non-government-approved churches, people who had home churches and other things like that, they were relentlessly persecuted in China. They did, for a while, make accommodations to people who would modify Christianity, modify their Bibles, so that it wasn't threatening to the Chinese Communist government. That ended. You cannot make accommodation with the government. Anytime you do that, anytime you allow them to censor your beliefs, to censor the exercise of your religion, it will eventually turn out as we saw it turn out in China. Now they are destroying churches. They're pulling down crosses everywhere. Even in Italy, we see Christians being attacked by Muslims. But the key thing is what's happening in America.
To an Infowars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show on this Sunday, September 20th, 2015. I'm David Knight, your host. Alex Jones is going to be reporting in the next hour with a TSA experience. It's about to get worse, too, folks. You know, if you live in the United States in a short period of time, some states, they're going to require the residents of some states to have a passport. Your driver's license is not going to be sufficient for you to travel within the United States. That's the arbitrary edicts of Homeland Security and ICE and border control. The same people who leave the borders completely open are not going to allow American citizens to travel within the United States unless they live in a state that complies with real ID. They won't consider your driver's license to be a valid form of ID. That's the way they are cracking down on us. Of course, part of that is being justified by their open borders. So they create a crisis, and here's the solution. We need to have a new national ID for you. I know when I ran through these problems with the TSA traveling on my recent vacation, I saw a lot of people having different comments. Look, we just completely boycott flying, they said. I agree. I think we ought to try to boycott flying as much as we should. Let the airplane companies, the airlines, feel that financial pressure. Nevertheless, there are times when we do need to fly. And here's the other side of that. I refuse to allow them to keep me from moving around. It's in a one way, it's a defiance. I know it's a very small thing to opt out of the scanner. They still are putting their hands on me to go through this. I still have to get their blessing and their permission. I still have to be treated like a criminal, like a terrorist. I have to prove to them, to their satisfaction, that I'm innocent. And of course, it's all theater. I understand all that. Nevertheless, I do what I can to oppose this at this time until we can get more people with us. We shouldn't have to have a frisk down to travel in this country. I shouldn't have to have a passport to fly within this country. I shouldn't have to have Transportation Security Administration all over this country. And it's not going to be just in the airports. They're going to be out on the highways and byways, and it's going to get even worse. There's going to be cars that are snitching on you. They're going to mandate talking cars. That's what the Department of Transportation Washington calls it. It is a process where they're going to be communicating with each other and with the government. We should start calling them snitch cars. I think it's maybe the Stasi highway system. We're going to talk about that in detail as well later in the program. But I want to finish up on this back and forth with Donald Trump, with Obama. Is he somebody that really embraces American values? Of course he isn't. He doesn't embrace traditional American values. Ted Nugent tweeted out, if Obama's a Christian, I'm a gay vegetarian pilot. Look, what's behind all of this? We know that Obama, whether or not you believe that his photoshopped birth certificate is acceptable or not, and we can see the layers of the photoshopped document that was put up there, many other things. We talked about the details of that document. Nevertheless, That brings up a question. Why would he give us a phony document? If he's legitimately born in Hawaii, why would they put up a document that was photoshopped that had a lot of anachronisms in it as well as questionable things about the typefaces? If you look at that document, we've broken that down in detail. I don't believe that's a legitimate document. So that raises a lot of flags with a lot of people. But here's what's not in dispute. What's not in dispute is that Obama went to school in Indonesia. He grew up in a family where his mother had deep CIA connections. She hid out, I think, with the USAID and the anthropology section, as Wayne Madsen has pointed out. That's where they love to put people in the CIA. We know that both of her parents were connected closely in the OSS, which was the forerunner of the CIA. We know that his father, who adopted him in Indonesia, was connected with the government that was put in place by the CIA, a ruthless government. And as I said before, if you want to know what was going on in Indonesia, we haven't seen this story in the West much about what was going on in Indonesia, what continues to go on in Indonesia, that repressive regime. Look at the film, The Act of Killing. That'll give you some idea of what happened in that country. But then in addition to that, not only did he grow up in this oppressive, brutal CIA-created regime where his father was connected politically high up, but he also went to a Muslim madrasa. That's how he was educated. So when Obama comes to the United States, when he begins his campaign in 2000 for the 2008 elections, as the New York Times recounted, of course, there was no video of this, unfortunately, but we do have a New York Times account saying that he began it by doing the Muslim prayers. That makes some people think that maybe he's Muslim. Certainly has sympathies to it. He is constantly criticizing Christianity, constantly praising Islam. But of course, he has his gods, and they are fiercely worshipped. As one article from Freedom Daily says, Obama will do business with the Tehran Ayatollahs, but not with the Washington Redskins. They point out that the Redskins are considering building a new stadium in Washington, but the Obama administration is going to block the construction of the project on the current RFK Stadium site unless the team changes its nickname. Now, we're not going to block it because of crony capitalism. We're still going to give the billionaires the money to play in their stadiums, but unless you change it for political correctness reasons, he's going to block that for them. I think it ought to be blocked because we shouldn't be subsidizing this. But no, it's all about the name Redskins. So here's what they say. Do chants of death to America offend him less than hail to the Redskins? And they point out that a former Redskin linebacker, London Fletcher, told Breitbart Sports that the nickname had served as a great source of pride to them. He said it meant strength, honor, history, and tradition. And they also point out that on the inaugural Redskins team in 1933, four players and the head coach were Native Americans. And I've seen this same type of thing happen in Florida with the Florida State Seminoles. There were a lot of people that were upset about that, politically correct liberals. And you know what? At the time, I don't remember how this worked out because I don't really follow football, but I know at the time, some people who were Seminoles said, we feel honored by that. We don't want the name changed. I don't know what happened to that particular case in Florida State. I haven't kept up with it. But just look at the difference that we see with this clock team that's being invited into the Obama White House. Now, clearly, the police went over the top in terms of the way they treated this kid. But it looks like this was done possibly to provoke. His father was involved with an Islamophobic organization. He's made a lot of political statements. And, of course, you have to wonder why Obama has never had a problem with the police going Stasi on the students in schools with any other issue. Somebody biting a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun and getting suspended, he's got no problem with that. Look at this story. Texas teen sent to in-school suspension for having an American flag T-shirt. Are they going to get an invitation to the White House? Absolutely not. But the kid that they can blame this on anti-Muslim feelings gets a ticket to the White House. But of course, the press says Donald Trump is completely wrong. There is no war on Christianity. We are not lifting up Islam in this country. Look, we understand what's going on. And that's the key to the popularity of Donald Trump. He points out the glaringly obvious elephant in the room, and he doesn't back down. And the question is, why aren't the other candidates doing this? I cannot understand why we don't see the other candidates doing this. They are cowered down by this political correctness that is coming from the Democrats, coming from the media. While all this is going on, while we're inviting a kid who has a clock, a suitcase clock that looks very much like a suitcase bomb with wires and timers and a lot of electronic stuff, why would you put a large clock like that that looks, if you look at the pictures, it looks like the traditional Hollywood suitcase bomb? Why would he do that? And then again, as I said, the connections with his father being part of a anti-Islamophobic group. Very suspicious. Very suspicious. And the hypocrisy of the Obama administration and not standing up to any of these other situations in school that are clearly over the top. That is the smoking gun. But of course, this reminder that if you retweet ISIS, you could go to jail. And this is coming from a tech publication pointing out that a guy who merely tweeted about ISIS, maybe he's a terrorist, maybe he isn't, but the speech is the issue. If they can take a group that they have funded, that they continue to fund, that they created, if they can shut people down for that, they can come after you for anything. Secret.
You have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host on this Sunday, September 20th, 2015. Joining me now is Anthony Gucciardi. In the next hour, we're going to have Alex Jones joining us with a report, something that happened with the TSA as part of his travels, but I'm sure he wants to also report it in and thank everyone for their support through the money bomb. It's been overwhelming, the support that we've seen from you. And of course, we are extending, Alex has extended the free shipping till midnight tonight as a way to say thank you. Also, the specials that are there, we have many different specials. We've got 25% off Survival Shield X2. It was sold out, but we got an emergency shipment in, so now that's back available. 25% off of that, 25% off of DNA Force, 30% off of Super Male Vitality. And we also have 15% off of Deep Cleanse, Secret 12, Oxy Powder, 20% off of Brain Force and Silver Bullet. We've got those specials. We're extending those as well as the free shipping till tonight as a way to say thank you for your support. Thank you so much for helping us reach this goal so that we can launch a satellite broadcasting network that's going to be free to air for television stations to pick up the radio show as well as the nightly news. And before I go to Anthony, because I want to get his comments on this, there's a new story out from the New York Times about how McDonald's is now leading the corporate effort to publicize the plights of migrants in the EU. Because, you know, that's, we all have to be concerned about how they're going to be fed in Europe. We can't stop the war in Syria and then give them food there and then butt out and leave them alone. No, we have to destroy their country, have a massive humanitarian wave come into Europe, and then they're going to get, guess what? McDonald's food. What could be better? They've got McDonald's along with DreamWorks, MasterCard, and Facebook. This is the World Food Program, they said. I would say, looking at this, it looks a bit self-serving. But I guess we could ask them, Anthony, do you want fries with that interventionist war? I don't know. But here's the thing.
That's a good one.
Millions of migrants desperate to escape war, starvation, persecution, have risked their lives in rickety rafts, or in the case of human smugglers. Thousands have died during the journey. Others have been trapped at border crossings and in camps. Well, yeah, let's stop the war. Let's understand what the cause of this is rather than just giving them a McDonald's hamburger. And before I go to you, I've got, because along this line, there was a headline story coming out of The Onion, a satire site many people are familiar with. But study finds average American inadvertently eats equivalent of 8 pieces of fruit per year. They say the study finds a typical person accidentally ingests small fruit fragments or pureed fruit chunks when they are mixed in with certain meals or snacks like yogurt or Hawaiian pizza, which over the course of 12 months adds up to about 8 whole pieces of fruit. And one of the people they in their fictional study here, they say in the satire, Sampson, assured the public that while the thoughts of unintentionally chewing or swallowing that amount of fruit might make them feel squeamish or repulsed, these minute quantities of plant-based substances over the course of hundreds of meals would have very little impact on their health. He says, when people learn the foods they eat every day might contain tiny parts or scraps of fruit, they tend to feel queasy. However, most Americans never even notice, and the body naturally flushes out fruit and fruit residue the same way it would a cinnamon roll or a chicken nugget. So that's the state of nutrition. But we got McDonald's. It's going to make it all better. They're going to help the people who have been driven out of their country in this war. They're going to give them some food, quote unquote.
Right. Well, I think McDonald's should fix their problems at home before they go ahead and try to give the refugees their toxic meals.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny the Onion says that. I think it is has some validity to that, of course, that people really aren't eating fruit. But at the same time, it's interesting, David, how we see such tangible success when it comes to the things like the food movement. Because McDonald's is bleeding so much cash right now, they don't actually report their losses each month anymore. They don't even let the public know how much they're losing because no one wants their junk anymore.
Yes.
That is why they're trying to do these PR moves. And I think you had another article about how they're going to transform their line of food within the next 10 years. Well, they're 10 years too late.
Yeah.
They are 10 years too late. There's a reason they keep losing money, and there's a reason people are going to other outlets, even if it's a fast food place. They're like, well, at least it's not McDonald's, because they had their chance. They had their chance to have actually high-quality ingredients, but instead, like many companies, unfortunately, they decided to cut costs down to a penny per unit instead of getting higher-quality stuff, and they're paying the price for that.
Exactly. This other story that you alluded to is one that came out Friday evening on InfoWars. Investors demand McDonald's ban the use of antibiotics in its meat. And they say just days after McDonald's said that it will shift to cage-free eggs over the next decade. That's the caveat there.
Absurd.
Over the next decade.
And it all comes down to that cost prohibiting thing we just talked about. Oh, well, it would cost 3 cents for us to change next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It would cost 2.7 cents for us to change next year. I think they need to understand that they're going to starve out pretty quick. They need to really make a radical change.
Yeah.
And a lot of people realize that they're supporting good companies these days. They know they want to support the independent companies, not the ones owned by Coca-Cola and Pepsi, like Suja Juice, which I used to drink all the time. Just a big portion of it got out by, bought out by, I believe it was Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. See, no one knows these things. And at the same time, it also inspires me to see things like the Money Bomb raise so much money, to see things like super high quality products raise so much cash because people actually want to support those things.
Yes.
And, you know, I was just talking to Alex earlier today, and he's so thankful. He's going to come on and tell everyone, but he's so thankful for everything that, you know, you guys have done, the listeners raising this money, getting the satellite out there. I'm thankful, too, to see him having such a major success and to see it's really a humanity level success, though, right?
Yeah.
Because it's reaching 400 plus million people. It's helping others that would have never been exposed to this stuff. But you imagine flipping through the channels and you have some CNN puppet up there saying, you know, today and blah, 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 forest fires, blah, blah. And the next one, you're like, we're not going to take it anymore. 1776. What are people going to be drawn to?
Exactly.
They're going to be drawn to the real news media.
Well, you know, these stories, and even the one that I had there that was the parody from The Onion saying, you know, average Americans are appalled to find out that they're getting the equivalent of 8 pieces of fruit. The average American is not looking at what's in their food. They're having the wool pulled over their eyes, but there's enough people that have woken up because, as you're pointing out, getting the information out there. That's what we want to do with this information. We want to try to get this out there, get people to wake up to what's being put into their food, get them to wake up to what's being put into their government, how the Constitution is being shredded, all these different ways that people are being deceived because of the corporate sponsors who are working with the big pharmaceutical sponsors who are working with the mainstream media. 75% of their revenue, it's been estimated, comes from big pharma. I've got another article here that I'm going to talk about later about how the new head of the FDA that Obama has picked still hasn't been ratified yet by the Senate or whoever is going to do it. But nevertheless, this new person that he has picked has deep ties to pharmaceutical companies.
He's
the most deeply tied person in recent history until you go back to the very beginnings. Actually, the organization just before we had the FDA, the head of that I forget what it was called at the time, but it was the name was changed to the FDA. But the person who was heading it at the time they changed took a 180 on fluoride. That was the former head of Alcoa. And so they were trying to get rid of toxic waste that was a byproduct of aluminum.
Well, David,
and so
they completely changed the... Alcoa sounds like, are you with Al-Qaeda?
I don't know. What changed it. It was that kind of regulatory capture, that kind of crony capitalism. And now it looks like that's the kind of guy that Obama is going to be appointing for the next Food and Drug Administration. The people overseeing all of this are not overseeing it. That's why people need the information.
It reminds me of two things. First, it reminds me of the study in 2011 that said organic is just the same as conventional food. Mm-hmm. That was done by the guy that someone called the father of statistical lies, Ingram Olkin. And this guy developed an algorithm, basically, statistical algorithm, to make any study look a different way. And these are other people's words, not mine. But then what happened is another study, there was a meta-analysis of the original Paxil data, the antipsychotic antidepressant drug, anti-anxiety. And they found that the original data for Paxil research found that it was super detrimental, caused massive number of different conditions and diseases. I know people that have serious diseases like vitiligo, where your skin turns white, the Michael Jackson syndrome. They looked at it again recently, just last week, and they said, well, we can actually have found that out from the original data. It looks like that data was viewed in a certain specific way for the drug companies.
Yeah.
So all of the studies we see these days, they can be interpreted in different ways. That's good and bad. You know, the good studies, the bad studies, they can be interpreted. Just depends how the researchers want to look at them and where they're getting the funding from.
Exactly. And that's the key. Where are they getting the funding from? And that's what we see in the history of this guy that Obama is about to appoint to the FDA. You have a right to know what's going into your food, to know about the drugs that they are telling you that you're going to be forced inject with you. They need to have your consent, and you need to be informed. That is a fundamental right. If we don't have that, we're nothing but slaves to these masters. That's why it's important for you to have independent information. That's what we strive to do here at InfoWars. Thank you so much for joining us, Anthony Gucciardi. Stay with us. In the next hour, we're going to have Alex Jones reporting in.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, September 20th, 2015. Alex Jones is going to be joining us this hour with a report from the road. And I wanted to follow up on what I was talking to Anthony Gucciardi about, and that is the idea of studies. We were talking about how studies could be manipulated by those who fund them to say basically anything that you want to say. Of course, there was a lot of back and forth in the last GOP debate between Ben Carson and Donald Trump. I think it's cost Ben Carson a huge amount of support to take the position that the science is settled on vaccines. I have to say, science is never settled. It is never settled, but especially in a situation involving medications, pharmaceuticals, and vaccines, because the vaccines themselves are constantly being changed, being manipulated, having different additives put into them. The schedules are being changed. The frequency is being changed. The concentration is being changed. So the science is not settled. And even if it were, they can go back and forth and argue the merits or the demerits of different vaccines, different additives or adjuvants that they put into it, preservatives or things to stimulate the immune system that can stimulate adverse reactions. That's what adjuvants are. They found that in many cases, when they would inject people with the vaccines, that their immune system would not have the reaction to produce a passive immunity. So they put adjuvants in, things to irritate the immune system. And some people, that causes a horrendous adverse reaction. So those adjuvants, some of the things that they put in as preservatives, those are constantly being changed. But we have genetic modification being put into vaccines. Anything that could be injected into you now is being called a vaccine. And the reason for that is that they don't have any liability. That was taken away in 1986. Anything they call a vaccine is essentially something that is free of liability for the company. So, of course, they're doing that. Now, Cheryl Atkinson is a very, we respect her a great deal here at InfoWars. I think Alex has talked to her on a number of occasions. She says, what the news isn't telling you about the vaccine autism studies. She said a new study this week found no link between vaccines and autism. It instantly made headlines on TV news and popular media everywhere. Many billed it as the final word once again, disproving the notion that vaccines could have anything to do with autism. But what you didn't learn on the news was that the study was from a consulting firm that lists major vaccine makers among its clients, the Lewin Group. The potential conflict of interest was not disclosed in the paper that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The study authors simply declared, quote, the Lewin Group operates with editorial independence. Really? Really? A consulting lobbying firm, and they act with editorial independence. And she goes on to talk about how, look, there's been a lot of studies that do show that there is a link with that. She says there's 21 different scientists. She lists them there. She says these are just a few of the many scientists whose peer-reviewed, published works have found possible links between vaccines and autism. But unlike the Lewin Group study, their research was not endorsed, was not promoted by the government, and was therefore not widely reported in the media. In fact, news reports, blogs, and quote-unquote medical experts routinely claim no such studies exist. And she clarifies, she said, to be clear, no study to date conclusively proves or disproves a causal link between vaccines and autism. But despite the misreporting, none have claimed to do so. Each typically finds either A, no association, or B, a possible association on a narrow vaccine autism question. Taken as a whole, the research on both sides serves as a body of evidence. A body of evidence that we as individuals should be treated with the respect that we have that information, that all of it is reported to us, that the conflicts of interest are reported to us, that they get our consent. And that's where Ben Carson and even Donald Trump, as they're arguing back and forth the merits, the demerits of vaccines or whatever, it's not their decision to make. If you take that decision away from us, you get things like the Tuskegee experiments. You get things like the experiments on people in Nazi concentration camps, in German and Japanese prisoner of war camps. Those are horrendous abuses that were done in the name of the greater good. They were prohibited by the Nuremberg Amendments. They were prohibited by medical ethics, and they're prohibited by the Constitution and our individual rights. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, but today Alex Jones is out and he is reporting in from the airport. As I found when I was traveling recently on my vacation, he has also come across some issues with the TSA, as we all do. And as I filed my report, many people said, well, just don't fly. Just boycott it totally. I agree. I think we ought to try to reduce our flying as much as possible to put pressure on the airlines to not support this kind of authoritarian treatment at the airports. But the same token, I don't want to allow them to keep me in a box. So I try to push back as much as I can. Well, that's opting out, essentially, because I know they don't like to do that. I don't like to do it either. But I try to be a monkey wrench into the system as much as I can. Nothing is going to really change, however, until the vast number of Americans stand up and say no. We can do that. Whenever Americans stand up and say no, they always back down. But they have to know that you're going to stand up for your rights, that you're not going to take it anymore. Shout it. I'm fed up and I'm not going to take it anymore. I mean, that's what we have to do collectively. We have to stand collectively for our individual rights instead of just surrendering this to them, allowing them to control our movements. And it's going to get much worse. As I pointed out, shortly they are going to make people who are traveling within the United States, citizens within the United States, carry a passport if their state has not qualified for the national ID card, real ID. So it's going to continue to get worse until we stand up and say we've had enough. Reporting in, here's Alex Jones.
Folks, Alex Jones here reporting live as I board a Southwest Airlines flight from Denver to Austin from Omaha. I went up there to conduct some business and also to attend a wedding. And I had some very interesting experiences up there analyzing what's happening to the country that fits into what I witnessed in areas of Europe about a month and a half ago. I'll be back tomorrow live hosting the entire 5 days of the week myself, and then the Sunday broadcast coming up. And we're going to be breaking down the Pope's visit to Philadelphia, D.C., and other areas, his visit that's currently happening in Cuba and how huge this is, and more. I haven't had any big TSA problems until today. And because of the fact that they had part of downtown shut down because of a marathon, I got a little late to the airport. And so I thought just for a test, I would go ahead and do the naked body scanner. I've refused it for 5 years, as everyone knows. Thought I'd do it so I could basically analyze the experience after demonstrating against it. So even though I went through the entire process, they then wanted to search us and went through all of our bags and found Concord grape jelly from Nebraska that I bought at a farmer's market in downtown Omaha yesterday. Again, I was out checking out the economy doing research. And they said, we're going to let you fly today because of this violation, but you're really lucky that we're even letting you. I mean, this is America, where our own government funds ISIS and Al-Qaeda, where our own government ships in the major narcotics, where our own government is involved in every crime you can imagine in the world. And they got these ridiculous internal checkpoints like dog training to prepare us to be slaves. And they sit there with a straight face and searched me for 35 minutes until I barely made my plane and got such enjoyment out of it. And they were closing the door as I got on. Southwest actually basically waited for me and the crew member I brought. So this is what America and the world has turned into. And it just illustrates how everything is about henpecking us into submission. Political correctness, zero tolerance, nanny state, all of it is about training you to comply, training you to be a minion. And none of it keeps us safe. The enemies run the country. The criminals have taken over. It's proof. It's fact. And I was reading today where a police chief said that Black Lives Matter groups are targeting police for engaged in domestic terrorism. It's classical terrorism by its very definition. They fired him. That story's on Infowars.com, North Carolina. It's just amazing to think it's Homeland Security for veterans and gun owners and patriots, and we've done nothing. And the very groups funded by Soros that are meant to destabilize the country are allowed to run wild. I'm just sick of it. I mean, to watch the, quote, security services used just as a conditioning tool for the general public is wrong, and I stand against it. But we have a lot of special reports. I was able to shoot video of some of this and take photos of the whole TSA, you know, confiscates grape jelly. and we'll be going over all. There's so many other big epiphanies I've had while I've been on this trip. David Knight's about to come back live, and I'll be breaking this all down tomorrow, Lord willing. Pray for us. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the syndicated daytime weekday show. I want to thank you all for the support with the Money Bomb. We're going to launch the full syndication on television now. It's going to have a big effect, so I want to salute you all. And I just want to appreciate what you've done. You definitely stand at the heart of InfoWars. All right, Alex Jones for InfoWars.com signing off. So we're back live tomorrow. And remember, if you're listening to this transmission or watching it, you are the resistance.
And again, it's another example of what we continually see from our government. Completely open borders, and the same people that run that, Homeland Security, are harassing us endlessly over minutiae and silly things like grape jelly at the airport, like you just heard Alex report. And of course, there was this story that I talked about earlier from Tech Dirt. Don't retweet about ISIS, or you could go to jail. The FBI considers your retweets to be endorsements, especially when it comes to chatter about a terrorist organization, ISIS. And they point out this is not the first time. They say, so the next time you see someone's Twitter bio and it says retweets aren't endorsements or something along those lines, know that the FBI doesn't agree with that. And of course, look, we know that our government created ISIS. Are they going to arrest John McCain, who was meeting with the leaders of ISIS? We just had an article the same day as the Republican debate on CNN. We had articles in mainstream press, confessions of the leader of ISIS, talking about how he had the CIA and others help him to bring in Chechen Muslims that had been fighting Russia, bring them into Syria. We know that our government has funded and trained and imported these terrorists. And yet, if you tweet about them, then they're going to possibly put you in jail because they have to maintain this control. If they can establish the principle that they can do to you whatever they wish, then that means that they can change the definition of terrorist at any time as they wish. A terrorist can be anybody that they label as a terrorist. So they have to establish these principles. They're going to put the Muslims out there as the boogeyman for us, even though they are the ones who are equipping and funding and training the worst of the Muslim terrorists out there. Now, along those lines, we had we've had a back and forth in the media about Donald Trump and whether or not he should defend Obama against charges that he's a Muslim. We've all seen how he praises Islam, criticizes Christianity, and uses the federal government in a politically correct way to suppress Christian expression of religion. Look, when we see this back and forth going on about gay marriage, we understand that people should be able to associate however they wish. And there needs to be an accommodation. Is how we're going to accommodate people's religious conscience along with that other freedom. And there are ways that that could be done, but they're not interested in exploring those ways. They want to have that kind of a conflict. They push for that kind of a conflict. That's what we see repeatedly. And they've escalated the idea that now religious freedom is a subordinate to the freedom to marry whoever you wish. So they sue people who do not provide services to them because they feel that they would be participating and celebrating for that. There is no accommodation whatsoever for religious freedom, rather a subjugation of that. So in that context of what was said back and forth between Donald Trump about Obama and in the context of what's been going on in the last few weeks with the Supreme Court, today on Meet the Press, they asked candidate Ben Carson whether or not a Muslim should be elected president. And this is what he had to say. He said, I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that. That was reported by the AP as saying Carson said that Muslims shouldn't be elected president. It's not quite the same thing. He's putting out his opinion there. You may agree or disagree with it. He wasn't saying that this was something that was prohibited by the Constitution or that he would prohibit. He said he would not agree with it. He would not advocate it. They also say that he did not specify in what way Islam ran counter to the constitutional principles. And I think, quite frankly, if we look at this, there are some issues with Sharia law, with where Muslims are deriving their authority, that conflict with the Constitution, but in the same way that Joe Biden conflicts with the Constitution when he denies natural rights and the purpose of our government.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. We're going to get back to what we were talking about, the revelation from Ben Carson. I want to unpack that a little bit more for you. It was reported Ben Carson does not believe a Muslim should be president. What does he really mean by that? What was he saying? I want to get back to that and also look at Donald Trump's latest policy paper about the Second Amendment. Trump has only done two policy statements. He's done one about immigration, one about the Second Amendment. Both of them are very, very detailed compared to what the other candidates have put out. Other candidates have a lot of issues that they talk about, and it's interesting to see what they choose to talk about, what their issues are. That tells us something about it. They give us a little bit of information about where they would go. But Donald Trump has given us more detailed statements than we've seen from any of the other candidates on most of these issues. Bush has put out a fairly detailed economic statement, but not anything that's truly controversial about what you would expect to see from him. So we're going to talk about Trump's latest policy paper, the Second Amendment. And I think whether or not you agree or disagree with these issue statements, I think it does everybody a favor to talk about something in detail. I mean, you still have to ask yourself, is this something that he will make good on? Is this something that has been something that he's cared about, that he deeply cares about, that he understands, that is a principle, or is it simply a position? You'll have to make that assessment. That's my problem with Donald Trump. I've seen him on both sides of these issues. But nevertheless, let's talk about some of the issues that are brought up because he does bring up some really important issues. We'll get to those in just a moment. Before we do, just wanted to thank you once again for supporting us in the Money Bomb that began on Wednesday. We had a 28-hour broadcast. It was donations as well as specials that we had on our website. And again, we've extended those specials at InfoWarsLife.com. We've extended that until midnight tonight. Free shipping, as well as massive discounts on many of the supplements and nutraceuticals that we sell there. Also, remember that we're only about 95 days out from Christmas. We've got T-shirts and other things that are on the site that are available, and you can still get free shipping for that. So it's something to think about in terms of gifts coming up even. But some of the specials that we have on things that will make a difference with your health. 25% off Survival Shield X2. That's our nascent iodine that was sold out, but we got an emergency shipment back in. 25% off of that and DNA Force. 30% off Super Male Vitality. 20% off Brain Force, Silver Bullet, and 15% off Deep Cleanse, Secret 12, that's our vitamin B12 supplement, and Oxy Powder. And one other, 20% off of Prostagard. That's $5 off the typical price of Prostagard. We have reviews on all of these products that you can see at InfoWarsLife.com. That will help you to see if it has been helpful to other people. You can also see the ingredients. And for example, in Prostagard, we are proud of the ingredients that we put in our products, unlike the Dark Act, which wants to hide the fact that many of the food manufacturers are using GMO products in their food. We are proud of what we put in. We are very careful to put in natural ingredients that support your body's functions naturally. Prostagard is a good example. It has saw palmetto, vitamin D3, lycopene, plant sterols, zinc, many things that naturally support your health. And take a look at the reviews that are there, what people have said that it's done for them. Here's Jerry from Waterbury, Connecticut. He says it reduces frequent urination. He says, I've had an overactive bladder for a long time and started dealing with it again recently. When I heard that InfoWars Life was selling this product, I decided to give it a try. Everyone who has an overactive bladder knows what I mean when I say it was worth a try. It's a very annoying condition. It's worked for me to this point. My frequency seems to have dropped to the levels of what it was when I was a lot younger before I had this problem. Another one from Liberty or Death 94 in the Lone Star State. He says, I bought a bottle for my dad. He noticed results within a few days. Glad to know there's something out there that works. Amazing product. You can see those reviews and many others like them again at our site, InfoWarsLife.com. Free shipping till midnight tonight. And we've extended as a thank you the discounts on the products that we sell until midnight tonight. Now, getting back to what Ben Carson had to say. He wasn't saying that there should be a litmus test as to someone's religion. What he said was he didn't think that Islam as religion was compatible with the Constitution, perhaps. And he didn't even go that strong. He said, if it's inconsistent with the values and principles of America, then of course, it should matter. You know, actually, when we look at Joe Biden, who is now sitting on the sidelines, as I said, biding his time, I think that he has picked up all of the people that have left Hillary Clinton. Certainly, Hillary Clinton has dropped 20% in the polls, and Joe Biden, even though he hasn't announced, has picked up those 20%. And when I look at what Joe Biden has to say, it concerns me as much as Sharia law that he doesn't understand the foundations of our government, of our Bill of Rights, of our Declaration of Independence, of our Constitution. He fought with Clarence Thomas on the whole concept of natural rights during the confirmation hearings. I remember that distinctively. It was the first time I'd ever noticed Joe Biden. He was absolutely incensed at the idea that we would possess natural rights, whether they're from God or whether you want to say it's just because we're human. Our founders said that we were given those rights by our Creator, that they were therefore inalienable. Many, if you're not a Christian, understand that you possess those rights as a human being, if you wish. Nevertheless, those rights are not as a human being. If you are a human being, you have these rights, and they're not given to you by the government. They're not privileges that are granted to you, but they are fundamental rights. That's what Joe Biden has a problem with. And we need to understand that our government was set up to protect those individual rights. That's what the Declaration of Independence said. It said to protect these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, and that when the governments become destructive of those rights, we have the right and the duty to alter or abolish that government. That's the fundamental principle of America. And so when we look at Islam, take a look at what the embassy of Saudi Arabia talks about in terms of legal and judicial structure. They say since Saudi Arabia is an Islamic state, its judicial system is based on Islamic law. At the top of the legal system is the king, who acts as the final court of appeal and as a source of pardon. It's a very much a king system that we broke from. So it's a very different approach. But here's what they have to say as well. They say in Sharia, there is no difference between the sacred and the secular aspects of society. And that's what many people are concerned about. The Islamic countries do not share our tradition, our constitutional mandate that there be a freedom of religion. They do not accept that. Saudi Arabia, our great ally, has beheaded more people than ISIS has. They're notorious for their intolerance of other religions. That's what concerns everyone about it being compatible with the Constitution. They say, of course, that Muslims derive Sharia law primarily from the Holy Quran. And, of course, when we talk about Islam, we need to understand that there's many different variants of it. There's Wahhabism, which is Saudi Arabia. There's the Sunni Islam, which is in Iraq. There's Sharia, which is in Iran. And, of course, there's going to be differences with individuals. Nevertheless, the concern that we have, and I think what Ben Carson was talking about, was are they going to respect the principles that we have embedded in the Declaration of Independence, the principles our country was founded upon, and the principles that are in the First Amendment, because we've got an article on InfoWars that 33% of the people in America can't name a single aspect of the First Amendment. Maybe that's a good question in the next presidential debate. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host today, David Knight. At the end of the last segment, we just started talking about an article that's on InfoWars.com. 33% of the American people can't name a single First Amendment right. That's a recent poll that was taken. I would like to see this kind of a question at the next debate by the GOP. Tell them, name one of the Bill of Rights besides the Second Amendment and tell us what you think it's about. Or take one like the First Amendment. Can you name the different aspects of the First Amendment? Here's what that poll found. They found that 57% of the people knew that that freedom of speech was in the First Amendment. They found that only 19% knew that freedom of religion was in it. Only 10% mentioned freedom of the press. Only 10% mentioned the right of assembly. And only 2% knew that the right to petition was in the First Amendment. Now, 33% of the people couldn't name a single thing. That's what is truly amazing. Truly amazing. So I'd like to see some questions from the presidential candidates. Name some of the assets. Tell us what your favorite one of the Bill of Rights is and why. Just give us, you don't have to quote it verbatim. Just give us a general idea of what you think it's about and tell us why you like it. That would be truly amazing. I don't think we would get much of a difference from that as we do from this poll. I can imagine some blank stares from many of these candidates. Now, Donald Trump has put out a statement, a very detailed statement about the Second Amendment. And, of course, his position papers, he's only put two of them up, only two positions about issues, immigration and now the Second Amendment, just came out the last couple of days. But he's been fairly detailed on that. Let's talk about his position on the Second Amendment. It starts out very, very strong. He says, the Second Amendment to our Constitution is clear. The right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon, period. That's a great start. The rest of it he talks about is also good, as he, in the preamble, he says, the Constitution doesn't create that right. It ensures that the government can't take it away. Exactly right. Rights are things that we possess, as I was saying in the last segment, that we possess as human beings, that are given to us as human beings by God. Government is instituted to protect those. If you grant things to people, those are called privileges. They're not called rights. But then he goes on to say, this is about self-defense, plain and simple. Not exactly. That is certainly an important aspect of why we have those rights. But we also possess those rights to protect our country from foreign invasion, from insurrection, from dictators. Okay, the Second Amendment is there as a check against the abuse of power by our own government, not just foreign governments. The first line of defense was not a standing army. As a matter of fact, they did not want a standing army. There are provisions about how the army needed to be taken down after the ends of wars, not a permanent standing army. They considered that to be one of the greatest threats to our liberties, and I think that we have seen that is the case. It was the militia that was supposed to protect us, not the military. So it is not about self-defense. That is one of the things that we have, that we enjoy as a right, but it is not about self-defense. But let's talk about some of the specifics he has to say. Enforce the laws on the books, he says. He talks about how there's violent crime in cities like Baltimore and Chicago, ignoring the fact that that crime is there because of the war on drugs. And, of course, Donald Trump is talking to the Republican base. You're not going to hear the Republicans criticize prohibition, unfortunately. They still haven't got it. They still didn't learn anything from alcohol prohibition, and they haven't learned anything from the 44 years of the war on drugs prohibition that we've had, and they also don't understand that they don't have any legal or constitutional authority to prohibit it. As I've mentioned before, we have the 18th Amendment and the 21st Amendment stand as a testimony. Just in case you don't understand what the 9th and 10th Amendment are about, the fact that if the government isn't explicitly given powers, those powers remain with the people, remain with the states. In other words, if you don't give a power specifically to the federal government and say, this is yours to regulate, they don't have that power. And so they had to give themselves the power with an amendment to the Constitution. That's what the 18th Amendment was about. It amended the Constitution so that they had the power to prohibit alcohol, alcohol alone. And that was revoked in the 21st Amendment. Where is the amendment to prohibit any other drug? Or not just recreational drugs, medical drugs, drugs that you might need to fight cancer. Why would you allow the FDA or the DEA to deny something that you believe you should have? See, we had tolerated that, and now what we're staring down the barrel of is removal of our informed consent when it comes to vaccinations, because the principle is the same. If you don't own your body, they can deny you medical treatment or they can force you to take medical treatment. They can also say that this is harmful for you, so we're going to throw you in jail or kill you if you are involved with using this. So it's really the war on drugs. It's not the possession of guns that's dangerous. And I would like to see the Republican Party understand that and promote that. Once they do, I think they'll get some traction. But he says we have a dangerous war on drugs. We have drug dealers and gang members that are given a slap on the wrist and turned loose on the street, so it needs to stop. So he doesn't acknowledge that prohibition is really the issue. He goes on then to offer mandatory minimums, which we've seen fail in the war on drugs, for violent crime. And I understand that if you're going to send somebody to jail for a felon, for a violent crime that they used a gun to. I don't have a problem with them getting stiff sentences, but I do have a problem with mandatory minimums, even though Eric Holder, who called it a cookie-cutter program, even though he did not get rid of mandatory minimums. We've seen that used against nonviolent offenders. And understand that what's really behind that is an effort to fill up the private prisons. That's really what's going on there. I don't think that we're going to solve anything in this country by throwing even more people in prison. We already have more people incarcerated than any other country, including China and Russia. But then he goes on to talk about fix our broken mental health system. Again, we need to be careful because a lot of Republicans have jumped on the bandwagon to say that guns are not to blame, crazy people are. And I understand there's been a lot of shootings by people who are mentally disturbed. We have tried to point out over and over again that in every one of these cases, if you look at them, they've been prescribed some kind of pharmaceutical. Serotonin reuptake inhibitors are a favorite. They make people more violent. They're prescribed for people who are suicidal or violent in some way, and yet it exacerbates that condition, especially when they come off of those drugs. Yet again, they do not acknowledge that system. And we have to be careful that if they say that someone is mentally incompetent to own a gun, who makes that determination? Are we going to have a due process to make that determination? Is this going to be a federal program to determine that? Are we going to have a jury to determine that? If you're going to take away somebody's right to own guns, that ought to be considered the same type of due process that you would have in order to take away their rights to throw them in prison. I think there ought to be a jury trial. I don't think it ought to be done on the orders of a doctor. I don't think it ought to be done with a checklist of different things or the accusation of friends or family or neighbor. It needs to be, once an accusation is made, then take it to a court and adjudicate it, just as you would if they were charged with a crime. Once you did that, I think that would be reasonable. But also, acknowledge the fact that a lot of this is caused by SSRIs. But then he has some good things to say about gun and magazine bans. He said the government has no business dictating what types of firearms are good. Honest people should be allowed to own them. Again, I'm reading from Donald Trump's recently released issues statement on the Second Amendment. Then he goes to background checks, and he points out that very few criminals are stupid enough to try and pass a background check. They get their guns from friends, family members, or by stealing them. So the overwhelming majority of people who go through background checks are law-abiding gun owners. Exactly right. So why not get rid of it? Why not get rid of the background checks that were put in to appease Ronald Reagan's, the wife of one of Ronald Reagan's friends? Why not get rid of those? Because they're totally ineffective. He says we need to fix the system we have, and we need to make it work as intended. What we don't need to do is expand a broken system. That's Donald Trump's program. So I don't really understand what he means by fixing a system when nobody is really using it. And finally, he talks about a national right to carry, and I want to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is our land. These are our people. The workers, the strivers, the builders. These are our people. Who are they? They are the dark armies. The dark, murdering armies whose only honor is atrocity.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host. In the last segment, we were talking about Donald Trump's newest issue statement. He's had two. One about immigration, the other one about the Second Amendment and the rights of gun owners. Both of them are very detailed, and there's some good aspects in both of them and some things that I would disagree with. Not so much things that I would disagree with, but a little bit soft on some of the edges. He has a very strong statement with the Second Amendment rights issue statement, saying that it is clearly a fundamental right. It is not something that the government grants to us. Nevertheless, he talks about how it is about self-defense. It's about much more than that. I would like to see a broader understanding of that. Also, some things we need to be careful about when he brings in mental health. We've seen many in the conservative movement who typically understand and protect Second Amendment rights trying to push back against gun control by saying we need to get tougher with people on the mental health issue, ignoring the contributions of pharmaceutical drugs like SSRIs, and also ignoring our due process. We've seen how the VA has tried to take guns away under ridiculous pretenses from veterans, how they have used the auto deposit of checks, disability checks, to say that you're incompetent and therefore you're going to lose your ability, your right to own guns. So we need to have a clear legal process. I would like to see a discussion and a mention of that. Nothing like that in here. But let's go to the one that we did not discuss yet, the last aspect of Donald Trump's Second Amendment rights statement. He talks about a national right to carry. He says the right of self-defense doesn't stop at the end of your driveway. That's why I have a concealed carry permit, why tens of millions of Americans do. That permit should be valid in all 50 states. And we understand that this has been an entrapment device in states like Chris Christie's New Jersey, not recognizing people who have a valid concealed carry license. There was just recently a case about a man in North Carolina who traveled on business, construction business. He had a gun. It was stowed away in his car. He had a concealed carry permit that was valid in North Carolina. But when they found it in New Jersey, they want to send him to jail for years. There was another case last year about a fellow who was moving his household. And his family was concerned about him. They called the police because they did not see him where they thought he was going to be. He was running very late. The police found him. They pulled him over. They wanted to look through his trunk. At the bottom of his trunk, underneath his possessions, his clothes and everything else, they found a firearm. He had a permit to use that in his state. He had a concealed carry permit. It was stowed in his trunk under everything else while he was moving. Nevertheless, they were trying to put him away for 10 years. That kind of entrapment is horrific that we see that happens in many of the northeastern states. And so it's great that Donald Trump is addressing that and the idea that people should not be banned from carrying guns on military bases and recruiting centers. That's certainly something that the president could do by order. Nevertheless, we also need to be careful. He draws the analogy to a driver's license that works in every state. And I agree. It ought to be recognized in every state. They should not be able to send somebody who is a law-abiding citizen who is qualified in another state and trap them and send them to jail. But we need to understand that even with driver's licenses, we now have this Real ID Act that is now going to, if your state doesn't comply with what Homeland Security wants to see happen in terms of Real ID, you're going to have a passport to fly. This is going to be coming up in just a few months for domestic flights. You can be an American citizen. You're going to have a passport to fly from one position to the other. And they have singled out, starting in 2016, residents of New York, Wisconsin, Louisiana, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and American Samoa. There you go, American Samoa. We're going to nail those people. I don't know why that is. But there's going to be possibly other states. It's just kind of their arbitrary list. You didn't go through and do it exactly the way they want to do. So now Homeland Security is going to require people in those states to have a passport to fly domestically. Americans will need a passport to travel within their own country. So we have to be careful with a government that operates like this, that we don't allow something like a national right to carry to be a way for the government to set themselves up as the arbiters of who gets a carry permit. We don't want the federal government defining who gets a concealed carry permit. We don't want them taking over that process either. So there, some of these things are very good, and I understand the reasons for them, but we need to make sure that we have due process before they take away our guns if somebody accuses us of not being mentally competent. We need to make sure that the federal government is not going to have any role whatsoever in terms of concealed carry, that they're not going to pull this in the back door. That's not being paranoid. We've seen this kind of thing happen over and over again from our government. Now, we're looking at the different candidates today. We've talked a lot about the ones who are at the top, those who are not professional politicians, those who have not been elected to office before. Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina is another one. And of course, when Fox News reported Trump's policy paper on the Second Amendment, they say, well, this is a radical departure from gun control. They point out that in the past, he has supported many of the aspects of gun control. So they're suspicious about him. But they're not suspicious about Carly Fiorina. No, Fox News loves her. She's their darling. I want to take a look at some of the aspects of Carly Fiorina that we have not talked about. Of course, we talked about her connections with the CIA. That's her only real government experience, is working with Michael Hayden of the CIA on dragnet surveillance on Americans. That ought to, you know, I would support a Carly for prison t-shirt, just like I would support a Hillary for prison t-shirt based on that basis. I don't know exactly what she did with him, but certainly something we should look into, and certainly not anything that qualifies her for the presidency or any kind of government qualification that I would agree with. Before I get into the Carly Fiorina video that I want you to see, what she's had to say about Hillary Clinton, I just want to let you know that Alex has extended the Money Bomb specials until midnight tonight. That's free shipping and big discounts on the products that we have there. We are really humbled and grateful for what you have done in supporting us. And as a thank you, we want to extend these specials. We have 30% off Super Male Vitality, 25% off Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine. That's our iodine product, as well as DNA Force, 25% off. 25% off Prostaguard, as I mentioned earlier. 20% off Brain Force and Silver Bullet, and 15% off of Deep Cleanse, Secret 12, and Oxy Powder. So we've extended those specials until midnight tonight, as well as free shipping. And as I mentioned before, Christmas is only 95 days away. If you want to get a t-shirt or a belt buckle or something like that as a gift for yourself or others, it's a great time to do it while we have free shipping. Now, to Carly Fiorina, we've talked about Ben Carson and his comments about whether or not a Muslim should be president. We've talked about Donald Trump and the press attacking him because he didn't defend Obama. And we've talked about Donald Trump's latest policy statement on gun control. What about Carly Fiorina? Is she running merely on the fact that she is a woman? Of course, the things that we're supposed to be excited about with Carly Fiorina is that she's a woman and that she's been a CEO of Hewlett-Packard. And of course, there are some big issues with her tenure there at Hewlett-Packard. I've got a short commercial I want to play for you about that. But listen to what she had to say about Hillary Clinton being a great candidate.
This is why perhaps I have such great admiration and empathy for Hillary Clinton. I have great admiration for her because I know what it takes in some small measure to do what she has done. She is obviously incredibly intelligent, focused, tough, determined, empathetic of all the tens of millions of people that she was trying to represent in her quest to become the first woman president of the United States. And as a woman, I take great pride in the fact that Hillary Clinton ran for president. And I also watched with a lot of empathy as I saw how she was scrutinized, characterized, talked about as a woman. While I think
let's hold that right there. Okay, so see, she has a lot of sympathy for it. Now, those of you who are not watching this, who are listening on the radio, she's saying that in front of a background of John McCain. And, of course, she was trying to get the supporters of Hillary Clinton to support John McCain instead of Obama. So it was all about identity politics. But, of course, she's the antidote to Hillary Clinton running as a woman. But you should vote for Carly Fiorina simply because she's a woman. That's exactly the kind of thing that we saw when she was pushing her daughter's death from a drug overdose of alcohol and prescription drugs and talking about marijuana. Stay with us. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 Central.
Major suppliers attempting to